That was Dr. Michael Parenti speaking on The Sword and the Dollar. You can obtain a cassette of this talk and other talks by Michael Parenti from People's Audio Video by calling them toll-free at 1-800-823-4507. That's 1-800-823-4507. Or visit their website, www.michaelparenti.org. This is Unwelcome Guests on WEOS Geneva, 90.3 and 89.7 FM. Chen Osorio is a survivor of the March 13, 1982 massacre of his home community of Rio Negro in Guatemala. Killed that day amongst 177 children, women, and elderly villagers were Carlos' first wife and their two infant children. Since 1992, Carlos has been a leading human rights activist in the region of Rabinal, where the army planned and carried out a military strategy of genocide against the Mayan people there. Carlos is co-founder of the Rabinal Widows and Orphans Committee. He spoke through an interpreter on March 14th in Ithaca.
Buenas noches. Mi nombre es Carlos Chen Osorio.
Good evening. My name is Carlos Chen Osorio.
Vengo de Guatemala.
I come from Guatemala.
Vengo de un municipio que es Rabinal Baja Verapaz.
I come from a place called Rabinal Baja Verapaz.
Y mi aldea es aldea Río Negro y soy sobreviviente de la tragedia o la destrucción de nuestra aldea que sucedió en el año 82.
My small village is called Río Negro and I am a survivor of the massacre of 1982.
Ha pasado 19 años de la destrucción de mi aldea. Estoy contando a muchas personas del extranjero.
19 years have passed since the events in my village, and now I have been telling about that event to many people in other countries.
Quiero decir de que no me canso de decir todo lo que pasó, porque la verdad me duele mucho de mi comunidad fue arrasada por la violencia.
I want to tell you I don't get tired of telling what happened to me because my village was wiped out by the violence of those years.
Mis compañeras y compañeros pidieron perdón y ellos se arrodillaron ante los autoridades militares, pero no fueron escuchados. Entonces hoy día pues he tomado la decisión de ser portavoz de ellos.
My fellow villagers even got down on their knees asking forgiveness to spare their lives, but they would not listen to. And that's why I am here telling you about it, being their voice, even though they are no longer here.
Ustedes ven algunos dibujos ahí en el pizarrón. Mi aldea Río Negro sufrió 5 masacres.
My village suffered massacres 5 times.
Por lo menos el 4 de marzo del 80, mataron a 7.
March 4th in the 80s, 7 were killed.
El 13 de febrero mataron a 73 hombres en una aldea de en Shokok.
February 13, 73 men were killed in a village called Shokok.
El 13 de marzo mataron 70 mujeres, 107 niños.
March 13, they killed
70 mujeres,
70 women,
107 niños y niñas,
107 boys and girls.
El 14 de mayo mataron 84 mujeres, hombres, 15 mujeres fueron llevadas en helicóptero sin saber nada de ellos.
They also killed 84 women, 15 of them were taken in helicopters and they were never heard again.
14 de septiembre mataron a 92 campesinos entre ancianos y ancianas, hombres, mujeres, fueron carbonizados en una casa.
September 14th, 92 were also killed. They were burned altogether.
Estoy mencionando nada más en una aldea, nada más en Río Negro.
I am only talking about one village of Río Negro.
Yo pertenezco a una organización de las viudas, viudos y huérfanos desplazados, Mayachi, Final.
I belong to the organization of the widows and displaced people, the organization from the Rabinal Achi.
Hay 25 comunidades están organizadas en la organización para exigir las exhumaciones de 65 cementerios clandestinos en Rabinal.
There are 25 villages that are organized. I am part of them. And we are trying to dig up 65 cemeteries to find out what happened.
De los 65 cementerios hemos logrado nada más 8 exhumaciones.
Out of the 65, we have been successful only with 8 of them.
La verdad es que nuestra lucha sigue para lograr la exhumación de los 65 cementerios.
Our fight continues to be successful digging up the 65 cemeteries.
Y como también no solamente vamos a hacer exhumaciones, estamos llevando proceso legal contra los autores de las masacres.
Are we also not only looking for digging up the bodies, but we want to press charges against those that committed those atrocities.
Tanto los patrulleros y como los oficiales del ejército estamos en la marcha para que se haga la justicia en Guatemala.
Not only the civil patrol, but the military officers, we are going after them too for justice.
Y sabemos de que el plan de los gobiernos que han pasado, como Lucas García y Ríos Montt, es tratan la manera de destruir a la comunidad indígena.
Former governments, like Generals Lucas García and Ríos Montt, had a thing in mind to destroy the indigenous communities.
Tenemos un ejemplo, el caso de Río Negro. Hemos logrado ya meter a la cárcel 3 patrulleros como comandante de autodefensa civil. En enero se le dictó una sentencia por 50 años de prisión.
We have had a few successful events in my village. We have been able to put in jail 3 of the civil patrol members and they have gone to jail for 50 years.
Pero estamos luchando para que también los oficiales que dieran la orden, para que también ellos vayan a la cárcel, no solamente los patrulleros.
We are also working hard to get the military officers that gave the orders so that they also go to jail, not only the members of the civil patrol.
Es como un ejemplo, los que somos sobrevivientes de Río Negro, estamos dando a las demás personas para que juntamente vamos a hacer una lucha y si se hace la justicia, para que no se repita otra vez la masacre.
We, the survivors of the massacres at Río Negro, are giving an example to others so that these atrocities will not be committed again.
También estamos tratando la manera de buscar fondos para levantar monumentos como para guardar la memoria y enseñar a los niños de lo que ha pasado.
We are trying to raise money to erect monuments in the memory of those that died so that the children, the new generation, may not forget about what happened.
La exhumación de Río Negro de los 70 mujeres, 107 niños, ya se logró en el año 93 Cuando fue el entierro, se hizo un pequeño monumento y fueron destruidos por el ejército y los patrulleros.
Of all the people that were the bodies dug up in Rio Negro, when the formal burial took place, a small monument was erected to keep their memories alive.
And after that, this was the first exhumation they did. After that, they built a monument that was destroyed by the military and the civilian patrols. So it took them a lot of courage, and you know, they got very upset that they also were able to build another one bigger than that, that has made of cement and or concrete and metal.
Para nosotros nos dio más fuerza, nos dio más valor, porque ellos no quieren que se aclare todo lo que pasó. Entonces tuvimos contacto con personas de aquí de los Estados Unidos y logramos un fondo. Hicimos un monumento grande de piedra y de hierro y bastante cemento. Hasta la fecha está.
We have been successful. Somehow we got in touch with an organization here in this country, the U.S., and we have been able to erect a big monument out of stone and metal, concrete, and now it's big there for everybody to see for many years.
También para nosotros es una forma para castigar a los responsables, porque no solamente los nombres de los que fallecieron, sino que también nombre de los que hicieron la masacre y la fecha.
For us, it's a way to punish those that committed those atrocities, because not only the names of the victims are there, but also the names of the perpetrators.
Estamos buscando fondos para hacer un monumento más grande para los 65 masacres o 65 cementerios. Y para nosotros, muchas veces de que, bueno, hay muchos extranjeros llega a visitar lo que es Tikal y Chimché, pero también queremos dar a conocer lo que pasó hace 19 años. Es una forma también de cómo trataron de destruir nuestro antepasado. Y sucedió también con nosotros hace 19 años.
We're trying to raise money to build even a larger monument, since many people from this country go down to see the ruins of Tikal and Chimché. It has happened once already with the Spaniards, and it happened again, the destruction takes place just the same.
Como también estamos en Río Negro, se construyó una represa por el Instituto de Electrificación INDE, y el Banco Mundial es el que dio el dinero para eso. Estamos también haciendo una lucha o una campaña porque Río Negro los mataron, y después, cuando ya todos están muertos, empezaron a llenar la presa.
There was a dam built, and the purpose of it was probably to hide all those killings, because after all the massacres took place, they filled up the dam. And
la lucha porque mataron a la gente, y hasta la fecha no han comprado el terreno que inundó la presa. Río Negro perdió 22 caballerías de tierra, y apenas han comprado solo 7 caballerías.
My village of Río Negro lost a lot of land because they didn't buy the land that they used when they built the dam. They just filled it up. Up to now, they have bought just a small portion of that land that now is the dam.
Okay, what he's saying is that the World Bank, they went to Guatemala and they work on a dam. And they tried to force all his community to leave, and that they didn't leave. So anyway, so that's how the massacres took place in that part of the country. And then he says that they haven't paid them. They haven't paid the victims, like, you know, they haven't given the land back, thousands of acres that they still need to have back, or somehow be paid back by the World Bank and the INDE from Guatemala, but they haven't given anything yet.
Estamos haciendo una campaña para el 10 o el 15 con varias organizaciones internacionales para presionar al Banco Mundial. Como también los señores del INDE prometieron hacer viviendas una cooperativa y hasta la fecha no hay nada, no se ha visto nada.
Well, we are moving to organize to make pressure against this institution, INDE and the World Bank, to see if they can compensate the people. They offered to do many things of infrastructure, but up to now they haven't done a thing.
Entonces es una lucha que estamos haciendo, no solamente, bueno, mencioné Río Negro, la presa, pero mayormente las grandes violaciones de derechos humanos se han cometido en Guatemala.
In Guatemala, I have mentioned about Río Negro, but it's the violations of human rights is across the country.
Lamentablemente, somos muchos los sobrevivientes de varias comunidades mayas de Guatemala que sufrimos las destrucciones por el ejército, pero no todo podemos, hemos tenido la oportunidad de venir a contar lo que pasó.
Sadly, the survivors of these massacres are many of us, but not many of us have had the opportunity to go to other countries to tell about reality.
Como ustedes han escuchado de que hay mucha gente de Huehuetenango, de Quiché, salieron al exilio, estuvieron en Chiapas, pero nosotros los de Rabinal Baja Verapaz no tuvimos la oportunidad de salir. Muchas personas perdieron la vida y muchos estuvimos en la montaña allá en Guatemala.
Many people from neighboring areas with Mexico, Huehuetenango and Quiché, were able to go across the border and survive, but we, the people that were in Alta Verapaz and Baja Verapaz, which is in the middle of the country, had to go to the mountains because they had no means to make that trip to the border with Mexico.
Por lo menos lo que yo estoy contando no es un invento, no es una cosa, sino que yo viví en carne propia.
What I'm telling you is not a story that I'm making up. I lived it on my own flesh.
Me da mucha tristeza de contar, pero tengo que hacer, porque yo vi sangres, vi a mis compañeros tirados, vi a los niños estrellaron entre las piedras, entonces no me canse de decir.
It saddens me to tell the story, but I have to say it because I saw the mangled bodies, even children's bodies smashed against stones, so I had to keep on telling about it.
Tenemos el ejemplo de Monseñor Gerardi. Él dio su vida por decir la verdad.
We have the example of Monseñor Gerardi. He gave his life because of the truth.
Y vamos a seguir el ejemplo de él porque si nosotros vamos a poner una lámpara bajo la mesa, no se puede encender, sino que tenemos que poner sobre la mesa así que todo el mundo se dé cuenta de lo que pasó en Guatemala.
We are going to follow his example. If we put our light under the table, it won't be seen. But if we put it on the table, the whole world will be able to see it.
Nos da lástima de que hoy día pues está el gobierno de Portillo y como también Río Simón, que es un genocidio, y están todavía en el poder. ¿Sabe por qué? Porque con amenaza lograron llegar al poder.
It is sad for us to tell, but those that committed the genocide are still in power. Mr. Portillo and Rios Montt are the genocides, and with the threatening, people got back to power again.
Pero tenemos que exigir a ellos de que cumpla con todos los la recomendación de la comisión para que hoy día, pues, por lo menos las viudas no tienen nada un apoyo de parte del gobierno. Ellos, como ustedes ven aquí, traen algunas artesanías, con esas han sostenido las viudas durante 19 años. Entonces, tenemos el tema de exhumación, proceso legal y el resarcimiento para las viudas, reparación de las comunidades destruidas.
We have to make enough pressure. We are only able to support our activities, as you see with these crafts here. There are many, many widows. And there are many elements that we are pushing for. Among of them are the agreements about peace and also
reparación de las aldeas destruidas.
Oh, the restoration of the destroyed villages, which are quite a few of them.
Y como también ustedes saben bien de que el gobierno de los Estados Unidos apoyaron mucho el ejército en Guatemala para cometer todas las grandes violaciones. Apoyó en entrenamiento militar, en armas y dio también económico para cometer todas esas destrucciones. Y así queremos también que colabore ahora el gobierno de los Estados Unidos para reparar todos los daños.
As you know very well that the U.S. government participated heavily in providing training and weapons for the destruction that took place there in Guatemala. So now the same way we want also the help of the United States to rebuild all these villages that were destroyed.
Carlos Chenosorio, co-founder of the Rabinal Widows and Orphans Committee.
Stir. In our increasingly global economy, corporations seeking to relocate production are free to roam the world in search of countries where there are low wages, no benefits or protection of workers' rights, no occupational health and safety or environmental regulations, no taxes, and no labor unions. As a result, many of the products we buy are made under sweatshop conditions, sometimes with child labor. The National Labor Committee is an organization which has been at the forefront of the struggle against sweatshops. The National Labor Committee and other activist organizations are pressuring companies to disclose the names and addresses of the factories where their products are made and to allow independent monitoring of the conditions in those factories by local religious, human and labor rights and women's organizations. They are also pressuring the companies to ensure that the factories where their products are made pay a living wage which at least meets a family's basic subsistence needs and that workers are allowed to organize unions. Next on Unwelcome Guests, we will hear audio excerpts from two videos released by the National Labor Committee. The first video, Zoned for Slavery, is about working conditions in garment factories in U.S.-sponsored free trade zones in Central America. The second video, Mickey Mouse Goes to Haiti, Disney and the Science of Exploitation, addresses working conditions in some of the factories where Disney clothes are made. At the end of the show, we will let you know how to get more information and how to contact the National Labor Committee.
6 mornings a week in Honduras, the Dominican Republic, El Salvador, and Guatemala, almost 500,000 young people, mostly teenage girls, set out to work in the free trade zone factories, the maquilas. In the U.S., most of these youngsters would be heading to school. Here they work 12-hour shifts, deprived of an education, deprived of a future, producing goods for the U.S. market at 5 to 10% of U.S. wages. The company names are familiar. Sag Harbor, Arizona for JCPenney, Gitano by Fruit of the Loom sold at Walmart, Eddie Bauer, Oshkosh, and more, all assembled by children in these monstrous sweatshops of the New World Order.
Yeah, if you take a look at these ads here, which are targeted at U.S. companies to convince them to go offshore to access the low wages in El Salvador or other countries, you'll see the wage 57 cents an hour if you would go offshore. A year later, the wages are down to 33 cents an hour. You can hire Rosa Martinez.
Charles Kernigan, director of the National Labor Committee.
This is the corporate agenda. And a part of that corporate agenda is to pit young workers in the third world against workers in the United States. We're pitted against each other in a race to the bottom. Who will accept the lowest wages? Who will accept the least benefits? Who will accept the most miserable working conditions? This is a plan. The companies want us to focus on Rosa Martinez as our enemy. She's not our enemy.
Para una niña de 15 años,
for a 15-year-old girl who has not yet completely formed a personality, has not yet completely developed physically, who is just beginning to feel life, who is opening her eyes to so many new things important to any human being, love, friendship, living with other people, to fall into the maquila is to fall into a deep, dark well. She must cease to be a person. She must become a cog in a wheel which is only important to the degree that it makes the great machine of the maquila function.
All of the free trade zones keep their own goon squad, their own armed security people. So, of course, it's almost impossible to get into these plants to do any research, to do an investigation. The system is hidden behind barbed wire, hidden behind these guards with their weapons.
This renunciation of happiness, renunciation of all that produces development and satisfaction of the personality, makes her feel as if the process of human advancement is closed off. She sees herself plunged into darkness.
This Gap shirt was made in El Salvador. See the price tag, $20. In fact, 40 workers in El Salvador in one day produce 1,500 of these shirts. $20 times 1,500 shirts is $30,000. The workers in El Salvador earning 56 cents an hour, they make, all the 40 workers collectively, they make $180 for the day. In other words, the women in El Salvador get paid 12 cents for each $20 Gap t-shirt. We have a very important question to ask. What has happened to the $19.88? Where has that disappeared to since the workers only keep 12 cents out of the shirt?
Under recent Republican administrations, the U.S. Agency for International Development has funneled well over $1 billion of taxpayers' money into creating the free trade zones. In these protected areas, corporations import materials duty-free and export the finished garments to the U.S. at special reduced tariffs. They pay no corporate taxes, no income taxes, little or no Social Security or health benefits, and they treat their workers like slaves. There are no inspections, no regulations, and when workers try to organize, they are fired.
Under such a system, of course you're going to lose jobs in the United States. Oshkosh has closed 3 plants, hundreds of workers have been put out of work. Since 1980, the United States has lost over 500,000 apparel jobs. We're losing about 28,000 apparel jobs a year.
They're not helping the economic situation over there. They're giving slave wages, and they're bringing that garment back and selling it for a high price to Americans.
What are the American people going to buy these products with? Because we're not going to have jobs. We're going to be unemployed.
Equally as important, if you pay someone 38 cents an hour, that person's never going to purchase a product made in the United States. This can of Spam would be about a day and a half worth of work for a maquiladora worker. Campbell's soup, this would be another day and a half's worth of work. In other words, the workers in Honduras are not earning enough to purchase even these simple U.S. products. So you lose at both ends. You lose jobs at one end, you have falling wages at one end, our end. At the other end, you can't trade. There's no one to trade with. You can't trade with someone making 38 cents an hour.
Leslie makes 38 cents an hour. Her few hours outside the factory are spent helping her mother. Leslie is 15 years old and has worked in the factory since she was 13. Her bus fare and lunch money, the girls are not allowed to bring their own food into the factory, consume much of her tiny paycheck, leaving just enough to keep the family from starvation. Leslie works at Orion Apparel, a factory owned and managed by South Koreans, making goods for the U.S. market.
The system has functioned perfectly for the companies up to this point because it's all been done behind closed doors. It's all been hidden.
Every worker is searched on their way in to make sure they have no food or candy that might damage the clothing. They line up for attendance, and then their day begins.
In Central America and the Caribbean, in El Salvador, Honduras, the preferred workforce in the maquiladoras are young women. 95% of the people working in the maquiladoras are young women. And they target the young women because they're most docile. They know their rights the least. They're the least able to defend themselves. This is very good material for the companies. And in fact, the companies have told us that they prefer the young women because at 16 years of age, they're at their peak of eye-hand coordination. I mean, they actually tell you that.
8:30.
Do you have a chance? Do you have a chance to go to school?
¿Tiene la oportunidad de ir a la escuela?
No.
No. No.
How old is she?
¿Cuántos años tiene?
No, 15.
I'm 15 years old.
Uh-huh. And how many years has she gone to school?
¿Cuántos años de escuela tenía? ¿Cuánto hasta cuánto grado? Till sixth grade.
Till sixth grade. And do many people in her family work, or is she one of the only people working?
Just me.
You support. How many people do you support?
¿Y cuánta gente está en su familia dependiendo en su salario? Eight people.
And how do you do with that salary? Is it enough?
Alcanza? Es suficiente para cuidar a otra gente? No.
Anybody, anyway, this is a private company.
Yes.
Without permission, how can you come in?
Well, the door was wide open, and...
Door is wide open, you throw the employees, not for you.
It's very common offshore in the maquiladoras for forced overtime. It's very common to have 12-hour shifts, to work from 7 o'clock until 7 p.m. In fact, when large orders come in for the companies, it's not uncommon to keep the workers there all night.
I take a rest when I come home tired, for about 20 minutes. Sometimes I work a lot and I only take 20 minutes for lunch, and I have to go back to work to finish my production goal, because otherwise they'll make me stay to finish it.
When the rush orders come in, say a big order comes in from Gap that has to be filled, they have the kids working from 7 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock at night. They're kicked out of the factory for 2 hours. They come back at 7 p.m. and they work until 3 a.m. in the morning. They're at the work 18, 19 hours to get these rush orders in. We've stood out in front of factories. We've seen kids come out 6 o'clock in the morning after having entered the day before. We've seen children enter at 7:30 in the morning on Saturday and come out of work at 6 a.m. the next day on Sunday, a 23-hour shift.
It's painful for me. As I told her, I wouldn't want her to work because she tells me that they yell at her, blame her. She goes to work and tells me that she'll be back at 7, but it's 8 or 9 when I get a little note from her telling me she's been forced to stay. I worry about her. It's dark on the road. But I calm down because I know she'll stay there until early in the morning. Sometimes it's 4:30 in the morning, and I have just got up, and then she comes. I tell her, child, I've been thinking about you. She says, Mom, don't worry. What am I going to do? I have to work. If she misses one day, they take out a lot of money. She doesn't get the whole pay. That's why she stays.
You don't go to school now, do you?
No.
Do you want to go?
Sí.
What do you want to study?
Bueno, a mí me falta un año para
sacarse. I need one more year to finish elementary school. You know, you study here for 6 years and then you go to high school. I think if I can study for 3 more years after elementary school, it will be enough.
What the companies are doing, companies like The Gap, they're not letting the workers out. They're not letting the workers out to go to school at night. They're telling the workers, they're telling these young women, it's school or it's work. You decide. If you're going to go to school tonight, don't bother coming back tomorrow because you're fired.
Octavio does not go to school. He is a factory worker.
What grade have you completed?
Fifth grade.
What happened that you didn't go on to the sixth grade?
I work to help my mom.
In the factories, don't they tell you you can go to school at night?
No, because I have to leave so late. You have to stay till you finish the quota.
Do you always finish?
Once in a while.
And if you don't finish the quota?
I stay.
Until when?
No, la meta.
Sí.
Me quedo, ¿cómo se llama? Me, till 6, 7, or 10.
From 7 in the morning until 10 at night?
Yes.
Across the street from this factory are three girls who are doing their homework. They did not complete their quota and must spend their Saturday evening sewing. Uprooted from the countryside, their families are squatters who live near the factory. 14 people live in this shack with no electricity or running water.
The wages that these girls receive are so low that they cannot afford even the minimum requirements to satisfy their nutritional needs. So we begin to see these girls with pale skin, extremely thin, with clouded eyes. It is psychological in that it is destroying their love for life. It is immoral in the sense that they begin to believe that life is a long road of injustices. The feeling that no matter what they do, they will always be on this road of injustice, destroys them morally.
Do you think your friends want to work in the factory?
No, que ahí en la fábrica no, porque lo primero que las coreanas a uno le gritan.
No, not in the fabricate, because first of all, the Koreans scream at you.
Otra que cuando le gritan.
Also, when they yell at you, they also hit. Like when there was a boy packing, and the Korean just hit him in the face like this.
They don't let me go to the bathroom. They don't let me go to get water. We could be choking of thirst, and they don't let us go drink water until they want to let just one go to drink water. One goes, and then the other goes. Two or three can't go drink because it's not permitted. For that, you get punished in the office.
They give you birth control pills. They say it's for malaria, but it's a lie. They force you to take them and don't let you leave until you take them.
Where do they make you take them?
In the office by the gate. On the table, they line them up and you have to take them.
In front of the supervisors?
Yes, in front of the Koreans and the supervisors.
An examination of where the maquilas dump their garbage was revealing.
These are pills that the companies use. They say that many women might become pregnant, and since the company doesn't want to pay maternity, they give them a pack of these each 15 days or every month so that they don't become pregnant. And if they do become pregnant, they give them a shot to abort the baby. They kill the baby inside. The Koreans don't give the shots. A Honduran supervisor says, "Why didn't you take these pills?" If the woman says she lost them, then they make her buy an expensive injection to abort the baby.
In fact, the maquila is wringing Honduran youth dry. Within 10 years, we are going to have 25 to 30-year-old women, tired of life, sick. This will produce serious social problems for our country. We are going to have people without imagination, people who believe in nothing and who will not be able to function in the development that we want for our country. By treating our young people, our young girls as they are being treated, they are destroying our future, no more and no less.
You just heard audio excerpts from Zoned for Slavery, a video released by the National Labor Committee, which documents sweatshop conditions in U.S.-sponsored free trade zones in Central America. But Central America is by no means the only place where such sweatshop conditions exist. Our next segment focuses on the conditions in some of the factories where Disney clothes are made. These are excerpts from the video, Mickey Mouse Goes to Haiti, Disney and the Science of Exploitation.
Well, the profits that are made by the fashion industry and these conglomerates are astronomical. And not to be concerned for the people's lives is a totally disastrous attitude, especially from a company like Walt Disney that makes their living and has made their living on children. And very fortunate children. We pay dearly to support their amusement parks and their theme parks, and their products and their services are overcharged, and they benefit only the well-to-do.
And Disney is huge. They're a conglomeration of people and an organization. I mean, some people have been known to call it Mauschwitz.
Pay $12 for a shirt that they pay the workers 7 cents to make.
It's terrible.
And to make a tremendous fortune. And all we're asking them to do is come to Haiti with us and improve conditions for the workers. The workers are asking for 60 U.S. cents an hour. It's nothing.
Nothing, really nothing.
And they won't even go down there and consider it. It's nothing.
It's terrible. So what do we have to do?
It's 6:30 in the morning. The workers are arriving at the free trade zones. There are nearly 20,000 workers in Haiti assembling goods for American companies for export to the United States. Companies like Walmart, Kmart, JCPenney, the Walt Disney Company. The U.S. companies are attracted to Haiti by the poverty, the misery, the high unemployment. It allows the companies to pay wages of 30 cents an hour, $2.40 a day. In Haiti, the workers are paid by piece rate. In a typical day, a worker will have to do 1,500 operations. In the Disney factories and the contractors' factories, the quota is set so high that the workers can only earn the minimum wage. In fact, the wages that the Disney workers earn amount to only 0.5% of the sales price of the Disney garments in the United States. And Disney says, don't worry, the cost of living in Haiti is not the same as the United States. Well, Haiti imports 70% of what it consumes, and food in Haiti can be just as expensive as it is in the United States. The Disney workers don't live from hand to mouth. They live as indentured servants. They live on credit. They live from debt to debt. If the workers try to defend themselves, if they try to defend their rights, they're fired.
We have to call on investment. We have to be intelligent enough to get advantage of this American money. But we have to have our dignity, I mean, standing up, you know, protect our workers. And it depends on us. They will not do anything different in Haiti that they did in Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Guatemala, Salvador, or wherever, Panama, or wherever. If they can suck us, they will suck us. We have to be intelligent enough to take advantage of it and not to suffer from it.
The company says, this Disney company says that they got paid 4 times the minimum wage.
Disney compare dire, yo paye employé 4 fois de plus de minimum wage. No.
So you make.
Combien quoi vous touchez par jour? I only make 36 good a day.
Did the workers ever get yelled at to go faster?
Les jours comme ça que. Qui ça te passe, me donne 15 jours. Les jours, qui ça te passe? Si les qui n'ont pas travaillé, si on toujours après les sous nous, on comprend, fait vite.
Oui, oui, oui,
yes, exactly. Yes. Yes, they're hailing at us and washing us.
They have clean drinking water, cold drinking water.
Les jours, c'est que l'eau propre, ensuite l'eau fraîche pour nous boire.
Parfois.
The water is dirty and hot.
After working 8 hours in temperatures well over 100 degrees, the workers crowd onto Tap Taps for their trip home. We watched 100 workers pile onto this truck. This is typical of a Disney's workers' home. It's 8 foot by 10 foot. There's no water. The toilet's a hole in the ground that 10 families share. On the wages that this woman earns, she can't afford to purchase milk or medicines for her children. The kids are raised on coffee and sugar water. Like she said, it's criminal. You went outside when I asked her if 194 gourds was expensive for the Disney shirt, the book out the shirt, and she was stunned, and she couldn't believe it. She asked several times whether or not it really sold for that much in the United States and said that it was a crime.
on $14.40 a week wages. This is how you live. Three families call us home. Why is she wearing this mask?
Pour qui ça on mettait masque ça?
Ça que mettez masque là, me comprendre tous les tous ceux qui me va présenter parce que haïtien ou mauvais jeu.
I wear this mask just that because I want to protect myself. I know there are people who might finger at me and I'll get fired.
In other words, for speaking to us and for speaking the truth, she could be fired or worse.
Donc, il y a des gens qui disent la vérité, n'a pas parlé avec les gens, il y a des possibilités que vous êtes capable de révoquer peut-être ça.
Oui, vous êtes capable de marquer mon pile et de révoquer.
Yes, they will finger at us, they will arrest her, they will mock her, and then and harass her, and probably fire us.
We'd like to ask this woman who makes the Disney clothing, how does she live on 28 cents now? Does she live well on 28 cents?
$2.20 a day, it's not good at all for us. When we do get paid, the money is already spent. We are always in debt. I have to borrow money to pay the schools, and also to feed the children. I have to pay interest on the money borrowed three times a month. I can never pay off the debt. On the day I get paid, the children still go to bed hungry. I don't even let my family know when I'm paid. I have no money to save. I had to pawn something, and I don't have the money to take them back. So I lost them. Even my pets and pawn, I lost to the pawn shop. We live in a one-room house with my six children and my husband.
When was the last time they ate meat or chicken?
Qui dernière fois ou mange un bon plat qui gagne viande là dans la sauce?
I can't even talk about it. I never have the money to buy some.
Tonight, what will I eat tonight?
I swear, qui ça y a mangé?
I don't know. Since this morning, I haven't eaten. I have nothing to feed my family.
It would be very unusual for her to have 20 gourds to buy food to feed herself, her husband, and the six children. But let's just see what she was able to buy for 20 gourds. This is spaghetti, an onion, tomato sauce and oil, some butter, garlic, a bouillon cube, and two small pieces of salt fish. It would be very unusual for her to have 20 gourds at the end of a day. And this certainly wouldn't even be enough to feed her family, but this is all that, 20 gourds, about $1.20, buys to feed the whole family.
I have been working for 13 years. I've got a family to take care of. I'm exhausted because I'm working hard in a state of desolation. It makes me forget that I even have parents. Because of this tough situation, my children can't eat. I'm living on credit. I'm working hard, and I'm not getting paid enough. The quota they give us is hard to make. When I go home, I collapse. Because we work too hard, we have no food. This shows how desolate our lives are. We are like the living dead. The boss has benefits and we have nothing. The boss can say anything to us and we can say nothing back. And even the Haitian state doesn't say a word. It is because of God that we don't do anything wrong. So I ask God and the international community to speak up for the Haitian people.
They want us to work like crazy the whole day. If we go to the bathroom, they say it's wasting time. Even when we work overtime. It's only when we are back at home that we can wash up. To work in this condition makes us feel very badly. We would like this situation to change for us. They should consider us like human beings. They don't see us as human beings at all.
What would happen if they tried to organize themselves? What would happen if you tried to organize to defend your rights and organize a union?
If they knew it, they would fire us.
As a Haitian worker, what I can say, the Haitian state and the Haitian bosses are one.
They'd rather close the factory than pay 58 cents an hour.
That's what she said.
I'd like to send a message to the American people. If they send these clothes to be made in Haiti, if the Americans can't give a living wage to us, to the Haitian workers, they shouldn't wear the clothes we have made for them in Haiti. That would be better for us.
That's exactly what we're doing with the campaign in the United States to pressure Disney to pay a living wage and to give the workers the right to organize and respect their basic human rights. Right now, what they do is they take the wages in Haiti and they tell the U.S. worker, you have to work for less or else we'll take the jobs to Haiti. Do they know what wages are in the United States for apparel workers? About 135 goods an hour. But there are unions. There are unions in the United States. Apparel workers' unions. Do they know how much this sells for?
No.
390 goods.
They wanted to have people to work for them in their business, in their factories. So, more you are in this misery, more you will accept to work for them for nothing, giving your blood, giving your life, giving your body in the factories.
Hi-ho, it's home to work we go. Hi-ho, 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 hi-ho.
If she could give a message to Michael Eisner, the president or the CEO of Walt Disney, would she like to deliver him a message or say anything to him?
Est-ce que vous avez envoyé un message au président compagnie Disney qui relève Michael Eisner? Qui message vous avez envoyé Bali?
I would like to send him the message that he should protect the high chefs that are working for him, because our bosses mistreat us a lot. They don't care about us. They don't treat us like human beings. They humiliate us while we are working in the factory. He knows the value of the profit that we are giving him, and he should speak out as much as possible and think of how he could give us Haitian more benefits.
The only thing I would like to ask of the company is that they send us more orders so that we can have jobs and that the bosses be reprimanded so that we can make a living.
The message I would like to send to the Disney company is to ask them to remain working in
Haiti.
They shouldn't leave the situation in the hands of the Haitian bosses or the Haitian state, because those people are like enemies for us, because they don't want to give us any benefits at all. Under the former government, they used to come and beat us inside the factories to give the bosses the upper hand. I'd like to ask the Disney company to keep the pressure on so that with the help of God, one day, we Haitians will be able to pick up our heads and say, thank God. Thank you to the Disney company. Thanks to the international labor movement.
In the last few weeks, several Disney workers have been fired for speaking with journalists and human rights workers. It is likely that the companies may try to identify and fire the Disney workers who appear in this video. Please don't let this happen. Urge Disney to do the right thing. Don't cut and run. The Disney company should not pull out of Haiti or reduce production because the spotlight has been focused on their operations. Disney should work with their contractors to clean up the factories. Disney representatives should go to Haiti with the National Labor Committee to meet with the workers in a safe location. Disney should pay a living wage, which the Haitian workers say could be as little as 58 cents an hour. Disney could afford that. Disney must demand that the human rights of the Haitian workers making their garments be respected. Disney should agree to independent monitoring of its contractors' plants by local human rights and religious organizations.
You've been listening to excerpts from Mickey Mouse Goes to Haiti, Disney and the Science of Exploitation, a video released by the National Labor Committee. Since this video was released in 1996, Disney has continued to rely on sweatshop labor to manufacture its products. According to a report released just last year by the National Labor Committee, many Disney garments are sewn in factories in China where conditions are even worse than the conditions you've just heard about in Haiti. For example, in the Guo Nian garment factory in China, 200 women sewing Disney garments are forced to work up to 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is common for the women to be required to work 112 hours a week. Wages paid at the factory are as low as 12 cents an hour, or just $13.90 for 112 hours of work. The report documents similar working conditions at a number of other factories in China which produce Disney garments. For copies of this report, or of the videos you've just heard, or for more information about what you can do to be part of the movement against sweatshops, contact the National Labor Committee at 212-242-3002, or visit their website at www.nlcnet.org. That's nlcnet.org.
Lying and gambling, and I take it my way, my shiny black vest. I treat horses good, and I'm friendly to strangers. I ride and you're running, makes my guns talk the best. But the rangers and deputies are hired by the rich man to catch me and hang me, my shiny black vest.
The music used in today's program was Guns of Brixton by The Clash and Volver a los Dies y Siete by Sabia. If you have an event you'd like us to announce or an issue you'd like us to cover on the program, you can contact us through our website at www.radioforall.org/unwelcome. That's radio, the number 4, ALL.org/unwelcome. You can also download shows you may have missed or get more info on the topics covered. Our theme music, Unwelcome Guest, is performed by Billy Bragg and Wilco, with lyrics by Woody Guthrie. Unwelcome Guests is produced by Chris Sturr, Jesse Lind, Lynn Gary, and Sean Ewald. We are solely responsible for its content.